Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the 6 p.m. Step 11 Prayer Meditation Meeting. My name is Joe. I'm a compulsive over and under eater and your speaker for this meeting. Hi, everyone. After a moment of silence, please join me in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Before we get started, we ask that you turn off all cell phones and other electronic devices. To protect anonymity, no photography, audio, or visual recording is allowed except as recorded by the committee. Please be aware that if you're speaking or sharing and say your first name, your voice will be audible on the recording, and you must sign the release that's right here after the meeting. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Would someone please read the 12 steps of OA?
I'm Catherine, compulsive overeater.
Yes. Thank you. 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very much. The format for this 55-minute meeting session is as follows. I will share for 10 to 15 minutes on the topic, followed by open sharing. The topic is Step 11 Prayer Meditation, and they asked that I announce that they need a speaker for the 7 p.m. meeting to lead on Step 12 service. Okay, my name is Joe. I'm a compulsive over and under eater. And I'm nervous tonight, and as my best friend in program reminds me that God or my higher power has this. This isn't about me. So I've been back in OA about 15 and a half years now, and I came in and out for about 8 years. And it took me about 8 years to take step one, to get serious about program. And to qualify, I'm a century person, so I've been about 130 pounds heavier than this. I also suffer from the anorexic side of the disease, where I've been about 30 or 40 pounds less than this. But for most of the time in the food, I was a compulsive overeater and obese or, super obese at some points. And I came back 15 and a half years ago and got serious about program. And I got a sponsor probably within a week. And his conditions were I had to work the steps with him, I had to be as honest as I could with him, and I had to want to be abstinent. And as we worked the steps, we went through the steps sequentially, and I went through them with him and someone else sequentially. And now I started in Philadelphia. I was in program there for about 2 years. I moved to Virginia, and I was there for about 5 years. And then I've been in San Francisco since then. And I've been working with the sponsor I'm with now probably 9 years. And the way we work at this point is I do a fear-based 10th step that starts, I have fear that, and I list whether it's positive or negatives, whatever's in my head. I list those, and then I finish that list with, thank you, God, for removing these fears. I pray only for knowledge of your will for us and the power to carry that out. And then I do a meditation. Now that's 20 minutes. But back when I first started, you know, my spiritual life was small. I had a lot of issues with God, with the church that I grew up with. And from, and I talked about this earlier, just from different people who had recovery that I wanted, they all had a higher power. Some, and it wasn't the same higher power, and it generally wasn't their higher power from their childhood. And I started with something small that loved me unconditionally, that brought me to OA to recover, that was stronger than this disease, that was not myself, that was not another man, was because I'm a gay man, so I made a lot of men my higher powers, and you know, wanted me to recover and loved me unconditionally. And I started to act as if and pray or talk to this higher power. And my first prayers were mainly the Serenity Prayer. And sometimes I would say the Serenity Prayer 20 times in a row, especially when I wanted to eat. And it started with, you know, I don't want to have, McDonald's was one of my big binge foods, and I don't want to have X, Y, and Z from McDonald's today. And all I want to do is eat. And, you know, I would do say those prayers, and it would get me to call somebody. And I wouldn't have to do it that day. And every day it grew. And my spirituality grew over the years a lot. And, you know, I lost my weight pretty quickly, most of it in the first year. And then I started dating. And then some of my prayers went to, I want this guy, or I want this guy because this hot guy is going to fix me, and this one's going to fix me, and this relationship will. And over time, some of those selfish prayers lifted. And I started following more what the big book said of not asking for myself. And a lot of my prayers were like in the eighth step, where I was praying for my dad for many months to lift resentments. And most recently, a prior boss of mine, I had to pray for her for a lot of months. And in the beginning, I didn't mean any of it. And, you know, I didn't wish her well. I did, and some of it was, you know, I would say all the things I wanted for myself and didn't feel it. And then after a while, the resentment for the most part lifted with her, because if I'm not doing that, then I automatically go to gossip. And I used to love gossip. And I still want to gossip so bad. And in the moment, it feels amazing, and it feels, you know, it makes me feel like I'm right, that person's wrong, I'm above that person. And then after, like, the food, I feel like shit. And it's still one that I struggle with. There's periods where I want to turn it over to my higher power, and other times I want to hold on to it. And it's gotten better over 15 and a half years, but it's still one. It's one of the last holdouts of my my character defects. And then other things, I'm going to talk a lot about practices that my first two sponsors had me do, which were really helpful in my recovery. The first, like, my first sponsor had me do a gratitude list. And some people give sponsees assignments, and they'll be like, write 5 things. Well, my sponsor started in the beginning with, write 20 things. And I was like, holy, what the fuck am I going to write about? Because I would, before program, there was nothing I was grateful for. You know, I woke up, I wasn't grateful to be alive. You know, I felt sick from the binge I had the night before. Wasn't sure if my clothes would fit. You know, my thighs were rubbing together. Like, all of that stuff that is all, you know, the sexy parts of being a century person, I wasn't grateful. But that practice made me grateful. And I had to, and I wasn't allowed to be grateful for food. You know, it wasn't, I couldn't say I was grateful I had this food to eat or that food. And it was hard at first. And then he made me make dinners for myself and do a candlelight dinner for myself and say prayers for myself. And it was so hard. And he's like, you would do that for another guy. He's like, you would go shopping for a week. You would make sure you had the tablecloths and the right, everything for that person. But for myself, you know, it was hard. And it was a spiritual practice. And part of almost, it was part of a spiritual practice for me to sort of love myself and treat myself better. People taught me to do God dialogues or higher power dialogues and write and think about how does your higher power see you, because there's that part of myself where, you know, I want to beat myself up, I'm shit, I'm fat, I'm this, I'm that, and no matter what my weight is, I can feel fat. And people remind me, and I still fight them, that fat is not a feeling, and sometimes I still fight my friends on that, but it's a sign that something's up, or I'm not dealing with something, or I'm not writing about something, or I just need to up my program a little, or, you know, it's just a good reminder that I'm not fixed. So I'll do God dialogues back and forth, and I started those the last couple of years, and it's amazing the results from them. The things, how I'm able to treat myself a lot better and see myself in a different way, and also see myself is able to do more, because the voice of the disease is you can't do it, you're not good enough. You know, some of my 10th step today was, I fear that I have nothing to say, I fear that I should be working this week, and I fear my clients will yell at me. In the practice that I have working, I have to get audited, and I have to do that every couple of years, so I have a fear I'll lose my license. All of this stuff that is around myself, and I'm going to lose things or get in trouble or be yelled at. And a lot of that is still like the being like a 12-year-old. And doing that practice lifts it for a while, and then I can go on my day, and I don't have to overeat. I don't have to undereat. I don't have to whatever addictive thing is. I don't have to do that. What else? And a few people taught me also that, like, one of the things my sponsor would say is, like, on Mondays, especially Monday mornings, I would get up, I wouldn't want to do program, and I go to work. And she's like, why would you do that to yourself? Why wouldn't you do a 10th step, a prayer? Give that gift to yourself, because you'll be much better for yourself and for all the people, because some people report to me or have over the years. And, you know, do the meditation. And, you know, I've gone to meditation teachers, and one of the teachers is who's sort of like 12-step based, has me doing 20 minutes twice a day, and he said, you'll see almost, like, he doesn't believe that you should have like an empty head while and not any thoughts. His vision is that those thoughts that are coming are all the character defects and the things on your 10th step lifting or being lifted to your higher power. And so it got me out of that hole, I'm not doing it perfectly, because then I wouldn't do it. And in the beginning with meditation, I would set a timer for a minute or 2 minutes, and that was hard in the beginning. And then slowly, over a couple of weeks, I would add another minute, and then another minute. And this wasn't on my own. These were assignments from my sponsor, which when I did them, you know, I felt better. The food was easier. What else? And then a woman in program in San Francisco who's been in a relationship for a lot of years, I respect her program. She would tell people, you know, if you're in a relationship or want to be in a relationship, why would you skip working program or doing 10 steps on the weekends? Because it's going to come out in your relationships. And I've noticed that, like, when I'm consistent with my 10 steps, when I'm consistent with my prayer, my meditation, my life goes a lot better. My relationship goes a lot better. I'm easier to deal with, I think, in my relationship. And my reactions aren't like a 12-year-old's. Because when I started overeating and dieting and starving, I was probably in the fourth grade. And I really started recovering 15 and a half years ago. So I have a lot of years to catch up maturity-wise, and program has helped a lot with that. And this, you know, 10, 11, and 12 sort of go hand in hand, so it's hard for me to just talk about 11. But once I do the list, you know, I talk about it with my sponsor. If she's not available, I'll email it to her. And, you know, I've also done things now where I'll put post-its on my computer or, you know, reminders in my to-do list with work, sort of like God or higher power has got that. I take my higher power to work with me. And in my to-do list, I started adding, because my work is a little bit crazy right now, and if I don't have program in the right place, my exercise starts going, my weight starts going up, and then when that starts happening, I start cutting back on my meetings, and then, you know, it's just a bad cycle. So my to-do list, I add every couple things, something about program, something about, like, after a few things that I do another either gratitude list or affirmations or something. And I've only been doing that the last probably 2-3 weeks, but it's made a tremendous amount of change. It's made my exercise consistent. I've upped my meetings, even though my head or my disease tells me there's not enough time. There's not enough time for meetings. There's not enough time for another sponsee, and that's bullshit. The disease basically wants me at 350 pounds, dead, or starving myself and thinking that, you know, I could live in, like I did in high school, like 500 calories a day and exercising 3 hours a day, because that would make sense. And the disease, no matter what my weight is, always tells me that I should be 10 pounds heavier. 10 pounds lighter, never heavier, sorry. 10 pounds lighter. And that was on my 10th step also, that, you know, I can't speak tonight because I should be 10 pounds lighter before I could share. But I put it down because that's the fears, the craziness. And for years and years, I overate over it, or I lived on virtually nothing for like a month, 2 months, 6 months at a time. And program and people and all of you taught me that I don't have to live like that today. And this works. I go, after I do this, I go to a meeting and share about it. I sponsor, and, you know, I have a sponsor, and that cycle just has worked. It's kept my weight relatively consistent for 14 years now, which is amazing, because before program, I knew how to be super overweight or underweight, mostly overweight, and from 1 week to the next or 1 month to the next, you know, I'd be in a different clothes size. And in recovery, I've had employees send me things like, you know, thanking me for being a good mentor, a good boss. They miss working with me, and before program, I never had that. I had people who would complain to my bosses about how I treat them. I was inconsistent. I would have favorites. I would send pissy emails to people. And program has helped me also, especially with email stuff, that a lot of times I'll bounce an email by someone. And now I've gotten to the point where you sort of have that pause where I sort of know something's probably bitchy, but sometimes I need a monitor just to take a look, because it's a lot easier to not send something than have to clean something up later. And I think that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share. Okay. The meeting is now open for 3-minute pitches. Please focus your share on the topic. Limit your share to 3 minutes to give others a chance to share. This meeting will end at 6:55. And if, as a reminder, if you do say your first name, you will have to sign the release that's on the table after the meeting. Who'd like to go first?
Hi, I'm Leslie. I'm in recovery for anorexia. Thank you. It is such a treat to hear you speak. You're such an instrumental part of my recovery, so you're very special to me. So I love Step 11. Love, love, love Step 11. And And it's really, as my program has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and my life has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, I've needed more of that conscious contact with my higher power in order to you know, be the best Leslie that I can be on a daily basis. And so what it consists of today is in the morning I get up and the first thing I do is I meditate. And meditation has been one of those parts that's like somewhat inconsistent in how I'm able to grow it. So I start at like 2 minutes. I periodically like restart how I do meditation. And so I'm like up to 8 minutes now. And it feels really nice to like quiet my mind. And I really appreciated hearing what you had to say about that when the thoughts bubble up, that that's actually you releasing them to your higher power, the character defects. Because I'm always like, ugh, I'm never going to do this right. Because I'm never going to be able to quiet my mind. And like that's apparently, you know, it doesn't have to be the point. I just want to listen and be open to hearing what God has to say to me. And then I do readings and writing, and then I call my sponsor and I read their reading, and then I hit my knees. And I do a combination of like the big book style step 11, where I always pray to have my thinking be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. I pray to be impeccable with my word every day, to not judge, to judge nothing that occurs, things like that. Always be of service to others. I pray to be the best sponsor that I can be, and then I pray for the difficult people in my life. And sometimes that takes a while. My prayer can be anywhere from like 5 minutes on a good day to like 10, 15 minutes long if I have to like run through everybody. And there's people who stay on that list of people I pray for months, and then there's people who it's lifted, like, you know, and I realize like what my part is pretty easily from that, but I always pray for what I want for me, for them. And something that's kind of newer in the last probably 6 months or so is praying for things. My sponsor taught me that I could actually pray for things that I did want to happen in my life, because it does say in our literature, the step 11 literature, that eventually our will and God's will merges. And so it's really clear to me that if I pray for something that I want for myself, that the road will be steady and smooth if God wants that for me as well. And if God does not want that for me, it's incredibly bumpy and tumultuous and really annoying. And so it's like, okay, fine, not that. But what I do is when I pray for something that I want for myself, I always end it with, but if that is not what you want for me, then, you know, I pray to care more about your will for me than any attachment I have to X, that thing, whatever that thing is. And I'll finish up now. But it really helps me remind myself that God's got my back no matter what, and that I'm allowed to have things that I want to flourish in my life. And, you know, it's totally up to God. I get to let go of the outcomes. And my prayer and meditation really helps me center in on that. So thank you for letting me share.
Hello, my name is Obi. I'm a recovering compulsive eater. It's really wonderful to hear you to hear your share. It's amazing. There's some things people will say that I don't really know them personally, but like 3 years later, it'll still be, I'll wake up on a daily basis and be thinking about what they say. So it's amazing how this program, how we all affect each other in ways that we don't realize, you know, when you share. Prayer and meditation. It's so great how many different types of recovery there are in this room and at this convention, and that's one of the reasons I'm here. This last, I think, 10 years of my life has been, I don't know if I can find the words to express how challenging. I'm going to say challenging now, but I would say painful, horrifying, terrible, just. The levels of fear that I've experienced and the levels of depression and feeling shut down, I can't even think of the words to convey that, you know. And I just have to assume that other people here have gone through that at some point in whatever form. So, You know, I was reading something in the New York Times about depression, though, that really changed my view of what depression is and what anxiety is, possibly being the flip side of the same coin, and that it's actually a wonderful tool. And that started to shift my perspective of, oh, I'm depressed, or, oh, I need such and such medication, and whoever needs medication, God help you, that's a wonderful tool as well. But that it's an adaptive mechanism if you can use it as such. That, in my view, when what I learned is that it's God just turning my head, like somebody said, a sunflower kind of turns towards the light, to the sun. It just literally faces. It's God going like that. If I turn the other way, that is the experience of depression and anxiety. It's not necessarily a condition or a malady or a stamp on the barcode in the back of my neck when I was born. It's just God pointing. So I've learned a lot about resistance and about patience. And so with my prayer and meditation, I learned to be very, 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 very simple, and to pray and meditate for, God, can I give somebody a hug today? You know, God, can I smile at a friend? Can I make one outreach call? That has been the foundation of my, I'll wrap this up, and my time in the program for about 4 years, is if I can find one little ray of sunshine that makes me, in a simple way, you know, happy, then everything else falls in place. And so fortunately, program, when I entered, was incredibly difficult, so I had to make it very, very easy. So my prayer and meditation is centers around, God, just make this easy. If you can do that for me, let's make that bargain and I will listen. Just so, so easy. So thank you for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Greg, compulsive reader, anorexic and bulimic.
Hi,
I'm Joe. Thank you so much for your share. I got a lot out of it. And, you know, prayer and meditation are definitely things that I use in my program. You know, I love them both, and typically my day starts with prayer and meditation. I like to get on my knees and pray. Then I read Upon Awakening from the Big Book on page 86 through 88, and then I pray I meditate for usually 10 to 15 minutes, and then I get up and start my day, and my prayers are pretty much, you know, whatever I need help with, you know, God, my defects of character, you know, help me to follow my food plan, help me to not compulsively overeat, please lift my obsession, you know, just things like that I need help with to make it through the day absolutely insanely, and I'll ask for, you know, knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry that out. And I pray for people as well, and it was a good reminder to hear that tonight because, actually, it was funny because I remember when I first came into programming, I was so angry and I just hated so many people. And my original prayer was, you know, God, please help them not get hit by a bus. And my sponsor was like, you know, that's not really what they had in mind when they wrote that in the Big Book. And so, you know, I started with, God, please help them have a nice hair day. And that was the most that I could do. And now when I pray for people, I pray that they'd be happy, joyous, and free. But, you know, it starts where it starts. And I'm much less angry than I am, than I was. And so it's so much easier for me to say, please, you know, I hope they are happy, joyous, and free. And so for me, I like to pray when I wake up, and I pray before all my meals because I have to bring God into my meals with me because, you know, I still have cravings. I still have the obsession. And sometimes when I sit down to eat, I still want to eat like a crazy person. You know, I do not want to eat like a gentleman in recovery. And I ask God to help me with all that. I ask to please let this be enough. And then I'm also a restrictor, so please help me finish it. And I weigh and measure my meals because I need that. I need to know the start and the end of it and to know that it's complete. And so I just try to bring God into everything. And sometimes my prayers during the day when I need help is just help. Because that's all I can verbalize, but God knows exactly what I need. And I just have to sit back and trust that it's going to happen. You know, prayer and meditation are huge. I also was I'm a meditation timer. I started out as 2 minutes. Now I'm up to about 15. I have been known to do 25, but, you know, that's a lot, and I started to get a little restless. So I just stick with the 15, and that's what feels good for me. My sponsor recently suggested I meditate twice a day, and oh my God, I hate her sometimes. But, you know, she's right, because I come home from work and I feel stressed and I feel overwhelmed and I want to numb out. And instead of food, I'm in front of the TV for hours watching various reruns from TV shows that were on 20 years ago. And it's like, do I really want to do that? No, so let me try to deal with that. I'll wrap up with some meditation instead and bring God into it rather than Law and Order. So thank you so much. And thank you, Joe.
Hi, I'm Christina, compulsive overeater. Got to remember. Thank you so much. I loved what you shared about gossiping, and I've shared in here three times, so my apologies if anyone's getting tired of hearing. But I did a big book study, and the gentleman who facilitated it suggested that we do a step 11 each day. He's like, don't wait, just do it. Because he's like, by the time you get to the point where you're at your step 11, you'll have practice. And I thought, okay, well, I'll try it. And so I sit and I do meditation. I built it up. And I have an accountability person, somebody, a friend who asked me, like, hey, what's one thing you want to stick with this year? And it was doing meditation. That was about 2 years ago. And so each day I do 15 minutes. And what I found is that I try my very best to do it in the morning, and 9 times out of 10 I do it in the morning before I start my day. And what I found is that throughout my day, if I do my meditation, my 15 minutes, that I get a buffer. I get a nanosecond. For my 15 minutes, I get in return 1 nanosecond, and that nanosecond gives me the option and gives me a choice. I see the bait. I see, you know, my coworker saying something to me, and she's, you know, drawing me in with something, and I really want to respond because, gosh darn it, doesn't that other lady know, the copy lady know, she's being such a pain in the, you know, whatever. But I get the nanosecond, and with that nanosecond, I get to choose, am I going to articulate what I'm really thinking, or am I going to not? And I found that what used to be really gratifying about gossiping, it's really funny. It's one of those things that I experience now, and I feel so good about myself when I can get through a day and I don't pick up that dirty talk. And it's not like I'm good or I'm so, look at what I've done. It's literally a feeling inside of me that I get to go home at the end of the day, and when I sit down with my food, I don't have to continue the conversation in my head, like that constant, like, and she did this and blah, blah, blah. It's like, it's not there. It's not there. As long as I don't start it or take up that, like, gossip gauntlet or judgment or criticism, then when I get home, I don't have that continuing in my head. And for that, I'm willing to sit for 15 minutes, even when I really don't want to, even when I do want to, and it gives me the nanosecond. So thanks.
I'm Marian. I'm a compulsive overeater, among other things. And I do the pre-cell prayer and meditation combination. It's the one time I get quiet, and I do it at night. And I don't know what it is. Something about the process of playing a game on the computer gets me really quiet because I have a very busy head. I came into this program 38 years ago. Had 12 years, ate one bite of frosting, and that was the end of it for the last whatever that minus that is. And I've been fighting coming back for a long time. I came to the birthday 2 years ago, and I didn't want to be here, but I stayed. And this year, I got mad earlier, which was good, and I don't want to be a newcomer again. I mean, that's really what it is. It's about my ego. And I have a lot of excuses. So, for me, prayer and meditation is not a regular thing. I'm not that spiritual. Sometimes it's every day, and sometimes it's once a week, and sometimes it's 5 minutes of, please God, keep me my mouth shut, because I am very open about what I think, and always have been. So, I don't know. This has been a very interesting day for me. because I've gone through a lot of emotions. But I came in when gray sheet, you know, one string bean and you start it over and all of that. And I'm realizing that that mentality has to be let go. And it's very hard for me because if I let that go, then what do I grab onto? I'm trying to find that that place of discipline. So I'm still here. I haven't run away yet. And we're staying at the hotel, so I feel a little entrapped, which is good. I mean, I have my car. I can take my car and go home anytime I want to. But one thing I have learned in this program is commitment. And if I commit to be here, then I commit to be here, and whether I like it or not. And I got sober because of OA, that you guys tricked me into sobriety and told me I couldn't drink. And it took me 5 years to even admit that I was an alcoholic. Even after my first inventory in OA, the gal said, well, that's nice, but when are you going to do your OA inventory? Because it was all about my drinking. And so I don't get it real easy. But I'm really glad to be here. I'm glad I got part of what you were sharing about. But everybody so far sounds like they're so disciplined, and they do their prayer and meditation every day, and then they pray to God and all that. And that's not me. It's just like help, 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 and just keep my mouth shut. So I really am grateful to be here, and I never liked meetings that were gratitude meetings. I wanted to throw up. And I still have that reaction sometimes. But overall, you know, this program and all my other anonymous programs have really given me a spiritual life that I never would have had if I hadn't come here, because I was really out of control. So, you know, the food just keeps cropping up, and I keep showing up every couple of years. So maybe I'll go back to meetings. Who knows? Anything's possible. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Bob. I'm a compulsive overeater. You know, I was talking to my sponsor one time, and every morning he had me read 2 pages of the Big Book to him. And I was telling him about a problem that I was having at work with a coworker. And he said to me, well, what would you rather be, right or happy? And I paused for a minute, and I thought, well, how in the hell can I be right? I mean, how in the hell can I be happy if I'm not right? See, that's my character as a compulsive overeater. That's my nature, because I want to be right. I want to be in the middle of it. And what the program gave me, and what working the 11th step gave me, is it took me from that nature of being childish and grandiose and emotionally sensitive, which I have plenty of, and it took me to a place where I was going into work and people were coming up to me and asking me, why are you smiling? And I would say, because I don't know any better. And that was the truth. I didn't know any better. I was just happy, you know. And it also gave me an opportunity from the prayer and meditation and being connected to my higher power. It gave me the opportunity that when I was confronted with difficult situations, and for some reason that I'm not really aware of, one of the counselors at my work, I worked in mental health outpatient clinic, and there was a drug and alcohol component to it, and one of the drug and alcohol counselors took a shine to me. And we were in the office with a lot of people, and he picked up on one of my physical characteristics, and in front of my coworkers was insulting me with it, you know, and about it. And I didn't respond to it, you know. I didn't pick it up. I didn't have to react. And he continued it on for about 5 or 10 minutes, and finally he got frustrated and walked away. And I didn't have a sense of anger or frustration. And my coworkers after that thought, hey, you know, look at this guy. He can keep his cool. And I'm grateful. And then the last thing I want to say is that God turns defeats into victories. That my defeats have been more important to my recovery. My relapses have been more important to my recovery than my long periods of abstinence. And I'm not knocking long periods of abstinence because I've had periods of like 10 years. But when I had that 3 years of a long relapse, it was the best thing in my life. It made me so dedicated to this program. And I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful to you. And I learned everything I know here. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Donna. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I didn't want to be here, so that meant I had to come. I had it all planned that I was going to do the resentment 2 hours and then the step 10 and then go and rest for an hour and then go and have supper. But I only made it for an hour in the resentment and then I was exhausted, so I had to go back to my room. So by 5:30 I was raring to go again and I looked on my little car. Oh, darn. It's prayer and meditation. Anyway, I'm glad I'm here. I've already heard lots of things that I've needed to hear, and that will help me. I do meditate for 20 minutes twice a day, and I've been doing that for about 3 or 4 years now. I learned how to do transcendental meditation about 30 years ago, and I think I did it for about 6 months, and I felt wonderful, so I quit doing it. And I've kind of dabbled in it off and on for a few years now, but about 4 years ago, I get migraines, and I also get anxious, very anxious, and I think that's probably what causes the migraines. Anyway, I notice that I'm a lot calmer when I meditate, and I notice a big difference in how I feel when I don't meditate. So it's become very important to me, and it's become I have put it first. One of the things, important things in my life that I put first. And sometimes, like, I meditate as soon as I get up. After I fed my cats, of course, and then before supper. But sometimes I'm too hungry when I get up, and I can't concentrate. You know, it doesn't work when I'm too hungry. So then lately I've been waiting till before lunch and instead of at supper time. And I like what you had to say about gossiping. I love it and I hate it. And it's really hard for me to stop. And especially I love to gossip about my sister and her family with my dad and with my mom and with my my children. And I feel awful after. But, why can't I stop? Why do, anyway, it's a good reminder that, yeah, it's not good for me, and hopefully hearing about it, I can let that go, and it's good, really good to be here. I'm here from Winnipeg, Canada, and really enjoying the lovely weather, so thank you.
Hi, I'm Suzanne. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater. Prayer and meditation is something that I won't go without. When I get up in the morning, first thing I do is get on my knees and ask God to keep me sober and abstinent. And I just, after that, I have a cat. Her name's Hallie Lulu. And she and I meditate together. We get my coffee and we go in my room and got a blanket on my lap and I read my meditations and then I just sit and listen. And I know that for me, that is the reason that I'm standing here. Totally. Because 2 years ago when I got cancer, you know, I had a choice whether to go ahead and do the chemo or to, you know, decide not to do chemo and radiation or just check out. And because I really wanted to dance with my higher power. I didn't want to be here because I just love him so much. You know, we have such a great relationship. And my husband and my family had other ideas. And so I went into a deep meditation long. I have meditation tapes that I have made because I don't like anybody controlling me. And it's my voice. So I know how long they last and I know how much time to do them in. So I have a 5 minute, a 15 minute, and then a half hour one. And I chose to use the half hour one because I really wanted to keep that channel open to know what God's will was for me. And he just kept telling me to trust all through the chemo, all through the radiation, and all through the whole process. And now that it's all over, the disease I had, there was 3% chance that I'd live. And I said, I can be 4%. You know, and the doctors were amazed that I never had pain or I just was full of energy and joy. And they said, you're really amazing. And I learned it in 12 steps. You know, the attitude is everything. And connection with God is everything. You know, if you don't know God, you don't know anything. You know, you have nothing to say except the BS that you want to impress somebody with. And I don't want to be that way. I ask God to use me. And he can only use me if I'm abstinent. He can only use me if I'm sober. He can only use me if I'm just human. The highest you get around here is human. You know, so that, and I know that the days that I would get up in the morning and think, oh, I've got so much to do today, I'm not going to meditate. You don't want to be around me in that day. It's not a pretty sight. And I've learned that over the years. I came here September 10th, 1981, and I've stayed. And one of my first commitments was the Sunday night meditation meeting in Seal Beach where we all meditated together. And that was so powerful to be in a room of people meditating. And I continued to try to do that in a lot of groups. I love to meditate in groups. And I love to meditate. One of my meditation tapes that I made is about flowers. I love pansies. And I'll be meditating in pansies, and all of a sudden, Mary's my friend. Her face will come up real big in that pansy, and I go, wow, got to call Mary today. And sure enough, I'll call her, and she'll say, I was just thinking of you. You know, and those kind of things. I know that meditation is can be broadened. It can get bigger. You can't put a cap on it. And it's so great, and I'm really here because I'm not all there. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, Deanna, compulsive overeater. Hi. I've been here since yesterday afternoon, and so far I've only done the fun stuff. Participated in the show, entered the raffle, so fingers crossed on the blender. And I thought it was about time to get down to the real business of why I'm in here. I felt very overwhelmed so far by this weekend, and I've heard a lot of speakers with a lot of really good recovery, and I just wrapped up step 10. I'm going to hand that over to my sponsor soon. And my therapist sent me to OA. My mom wanted to send me to a surgeon to get lap band, and my therapist said, okay, well, we can talk about antidepressants, or you can go check out an OA meeting. And I read the website, and I thought, I can't do this. And my biggest fears were steps 3, 9, and 11. And now I'm actually looking forward to starting step 11 because the speakers with a lot of recovery that I've heard so far, it looks to me like they're driving their car and they have an automatic. And right now I just have a stick shift because I do all the footwork. I go to a lot of meetings. I have service commitments. You know, I journal like a serial killer, just filling up composition books. You know, I have a good, solid food plan. I have a very gentle abstinence. But it feels like so much work. And my life feels very chaotic. My life is bigger. My life is a lot richer. I didn't get lap band. My top weight pre-program was 301. And the lowest I was able to get down to pre-program was 191, and I'm less than that now. I don't get on the scale very often, but I'm less than that now. Thanks. So even though I was so scared of step 11 2 years ago when I came into program, I just know that OA is my last and best chance because I have three options. I can be fat or crazy about being fat. And I've had a lot of the crazy about being fat days lately, just really concerned about my weight. Haven't been able to exercise as much as usual. And, it's just you can be skinny and gorgeous and still be crazy in the head. Hopefully I'll get to skinny and gorgeous, or maybe I'm a little bit of both right now. I'll still try to be humble. But they say come for the vanity and stay for the sanity. And right now I am fighting for the vanity. Freudian slip. I'm fighting for my sanity. So I'm willing to do step 11, and I'm really looking forward to what it brings. I'm scared of being committed to prayer often, but I will do it. And I'm really looking forward to meditation because it's very noisy up here with a rich life and a rich program. So thanks for letting me share.
It seems to be a semi-cat theme here, so I'll start with that one in terms of the way my morning starts. I have a cat by the name of Polly, and the reason for the name of Polly is she has 8 extra toes and is the joy and love of my life. And she's about 17. We got her from a shelter. And the reason I say that is because this particular cat has a tremendous amount of quiet, dignity and calm in spite of all of the infirmities that she has had, which is include cancer right now, high blood pressure, and a number of other things. And so my morning starts off with taking care of her and her medication. And then every morning, 95% of the time, because I'm not perfect, is that what I do is I start off, I do a little bit differently than it says. And it's not to be a contrarian, but somebody suggested this one time. I start off with my meditation first. I do 20 minutes of meditation, and at the end of that meditation, for about 5 minutes, I lie down quietly and invite God into my life to be with me and to be me whenever is needed. There is someone, and it's been said by a number of different people, so I'm not saying anything new, that someone was told one time by one of their assistants that they had a really, really busy day that particular day, and that person's response was, well, I guess I need to meditate twice as long. And I don't meditate twice as long, but this is what happens, and I don't have a lot of time, but the voices, as we know, the monkey brain starts, and I start running down the road. And what this does is it slowly brings me down a little bit of a level at a time. And the thing still, the mind is still there, but I've learned not to fight the thoughts, to just let them be. So as the thoughts come into my head, I just let them be. But they still are there. It might be 20, 40, 60 times during my 20-minute meditation that the thoughts might come through. But if I don't engage in them, if I don't get involved in the fight with them, then I can bring it down. And the one thing that I've learned is that if you don't know what serenity is like, why would you pray for it? And meditation gives me that feeling of what it is to be serene. And then very briefly after that, I just go into my prayer. But by that particular time, I'm more open and willing to be able to pray to a higher power. And that higher power is another very long and boring story, so I'll tell that one later.
Okay. It is now time to close the session. Thank you for being here tonight, especially since it's right before dinner. I would like to thank all of you who gave service at this session, and thank all of you for attending. And after a moment of silence, and I'd like to offer up this moment to our founder, Roseanne, because without her and starting this program, I'd probably be dead today and not have met some amazing people in my life and friends today. and then we'll close with the Serenity Prayer.